It's second down and 10 here for the Rams at the 16-yard line on the left hash. Donnelly with the long green sleeves under the gold jersey sends him in motion with his right hand. Schienbein motions across the formation of the right. The pass underneath, caught at the 5. Touchdown! Kyle Morcat! The first touchdown of the season for the Rams on home turf. And then Morcat, exclamation point backflip. And the Rams have the lead once again.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And welcome to the podcast. Thanks for checking it out. I really appreciate it. We're into year 3, and the popularity continues to rise as I try and promote our football players in the province. If you have a story you want me to pursue, message me at Growing the Game with Ballsy on Facebook or email me mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. And if you like what you hear, please spread the word any way you can. Now I'd like to thank my sponsors, Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn, Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina, SAS Selects Football, Face First Medical Aesthetics, Mark Greshner Photography, Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan. Before we get to our homegrown segment for Riviere Ag Seeds, I want to bring your attention to this. A man in the UK has been charged with assault after getting into a fight for farting in an Uber. 35-year-old James Mallett was a passenger along with 3 friends when he let one rip. The driver smelt it, knew who dealt it, and that's why they threw down. Luckily, there's a law firm for cases just like this.
Have you recently passed gas in an Uber? Did you poof in someone's Porsche? Was there an SBD in an SUV? Then call the law offices of Pootie Honkin' Beaver. If you've been charged with assault after blasting one in a Beamer or blowing a butt bugle in someone's Bentley, call Pootie Honkin' Beaver. We'll get to the bottom of what's going on and make sure there will be no time spent behind bars. No matter if you've made an arse whistle in an Aston Martin or ripped one in a Rolls Royce. Call Pootie Honkin' Beaver today.
Time now for our homegrown segment brought to you by Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified durum, yellow peas, and chickpeas. Talking with grade 11 student John Morstad out of Sheldon. How are you today, John?
I'm good. How are you today?
Good, John. So, first off, why did you choose the sport of football? And second part of that question, when did you choose the sport of football?
Probably about 6 or 7 years ago, I decided I wanted to play tackle football, and I liked it because it was the physical aspect of the sport.
Mm-hmm. And why did you choose receiver to be your position? Why is that your favorite position?
It's one of the most exciting positions out there. I get to run routes, make catches. It's mm-hmm. fun.
What's your favorite route to run?
Probably the curl.
The curl? Why do you like that one?
It makes guys look silly. Sell the streak well.
So what is your best attribute as a receiver, John?
I would say probably my route running.
Yeah. Who do you look up to as a route runner? Like, do you have a special, like, CFL or NFL receiver that you kind of try to emulate your game after?
I'd say Julian Edelman.
Yeah, Julian Edelman, a little slot receiver. How big are you, John?
About maybe, like, 5'10 and a half, 160 pounds.
Okay. What was your goal coming into a grade 11 here at Sheldon? You were thinking of playing in the fall, obviously expecting to play in the fall is how I should put it. And then, of course, we know COVID pulled the rug from beneath everybody. But what was your goal coming into this season in your grade 11 here at Sheldon?
Probably secure just a starting role in the team and contribute a lot.
Now, is this going into your second year on Sheldon?
Third year.
So you've played right since grade 9. Have you always been a receiver?
No, I have not always been a receiver. In RMF, I played linebacker for about 3-4 years.
Okay, so did you make the switch to receiver at Sheldon then?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So how much has Addison Richards helped you? I know he's coaching your 7-on-7 league, but he's also the receivers coach there at Sheldon. He told me you're his pet project. So what do you like about Addison, and what has he brought to the table for you as a coach?
He's brought a lot of experience to me mm-hmm. that I haven't really had throughout the years. I've never really had a coach that, like, knew all the stuff about being a receiver, and Addison knows just about everything, so that's helped me a lot.
So give me one example of something that he taught you that you didn't really know or that you have been able to fine-tune since he's taught you. Is there one example?
Yeah. Say, like, being able to, like manipulate, like, say, the defender into, like, going inside or outside, like, using your waggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. Talk about that big catch in the 7-on-7 game I watched over the Thanksgiving weekend against Swift Current. Describe that one for me. This is like you see in the NFL or CFL after a game, the reporter, which I generally do, asks a player to describe the play. So describe for my podcast listeners that catch you made up the right sidelines.
Oh, yeah. The jump ball 1-on-1 coverage. I think it was I ran a wheel route.
Mm-hmm.
So it gave me a one-on-one. It gave me the opportunity for one-on-one coverage, and Huggy threw the ball up, and I was able to reach over top of the defender and yoink it out of his hands, basically.
Yeah, that was that guy got mossed, as we like to say. You got mossed. That was awesome. What's it feel like to make a catch like that? In your own words, like, how did you feel coming down with that one? What are you thinking as you're trying to wrestle it away from the guy?
Oh, exciting. Just exhilarating.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great catch, man. It was the highlight of the game, in my opinion. What do you like best about that 7-on-7 league put on by the SAS Selects football program out there?
Probably the high-paced feel of it. It's a lot of offensive scoring.
Mm-hmm. I like the fact they're giving you guys an outlet to play some football, at least. Talk about how much of a saving grace that's been for you, you know, as a guy that was looking forward to securing a starting spot here in the fall with Sheldon. Don't get to play, but now at least you get to play some football.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for 7-on-7 to be there.
Hey, lastly, John, what's your ultimate goal in this sport?
Make it to the next level, for sure.
That's a good
university, and then from there, professional.
Yeah, that's a good goal. Do you have any buddies that have gone on to play at the next level that you kind of look up to or pick their brains?
Yeah, Bryden Lokes, I'm pretty sure. He was a receiver for Sheldon. He went to the Thunder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so is that your goal, university, or you'd go Thunder out for, you know, for a couple years to develop?
Yeah, basically Thunder or university. I'm happy with either.
All right, man. Well, thanks for your time. We really appreciate you joining us in the Homegrown segment.
Thank you.
Well, this week I had a chance to catch up with a couple of interesting people. Of course, one of them, a sponsor of this podcast, Paul Waldo, is he is involved in a venture to help out neighbors in our community here in Regina with the food bank. Here's what Paul had to say. Paul, you're a part of a very important initiative, something that you kind of dragged me into, and I'm happy to get involved. Tell me about this initiative with the food bank.
Yeah, it's just pretty cool. So the food bank's been doing a food drive for the last 30 years around this time, around the Thanksgiving. You know, there's over 13,000 families are going to be going hungry this month. And obviously with the pandemic, it's kind of has forced everybody else, I think, to be a bit creative and have to adjust in terms of still trying to put on for the cause. So yeah, what's basically has happened is the kind of the slogan, the idea, the premise is that everybody's got a number, right? So Ballsy, near football days, what would you wear, Ballsy?
I wore 10 with the Rams, 88 when I was playing with the McGuigan Mustangs, and 9 for my 1 year with the O'Neill Titans. And you were 21 all the time?
I you know, I was 21. I was 45 in Montreal. That's what I was, mm-hmm. when I got drafted, that's what they gave me. I didn't think I'd be around there very long after getting a number like that as a defensive back. But anyways, it worked out okay. So 21 is a number that I wore primarily in all through college and stuff as well. So what's happening basically is everybody's got a number, something that you either wore athletically at some point in time in your career, or, you know, you have an athlete that you look up to that is your favorite that wears a number. So the idea is to take that number and donate it, donate the dollar amount. So for me, it's 21. So I'm going to donate $21. I'm going to donate a lot more, but that's kind of, like I said, the initiative, mm-hmm. the premises behind the whole thing. And like I said, it's a great way to, the plan is to put a million meals together. So,
and it doesn't take much dollar-wise to put a meal on somebody's table.
No, I didn't know. I didn't realize till I was told by the organizers, Dave Throy. It said, I think he said $1 will put three meals together.
So
it's pretty, yeah, it's not a whole lot. And like I said, when you think about it, the one thing I really, really do, enjoy about this fundraiser, I think more so than anything, is just the sheer significance because of the fact that it's a basic necessity. It's food we're talking about, right? There's a lot of fundraisers, a lot of charities that are very important, very significant. But like I said, especially when you're dealing with just the basic necessity, I think a lot of people take for granted, myself included, not being able to have a meal is, it's something that I, fortunate enough, don't have to worry about. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty important when you think about it.
Well, this week I had a chance to sit in for Derek Taylor on the Sports Cage because he was away due to illness, getting tested for COVID-19. Thankfully, everything came back okay. Anyway, I had a chance to interview Farhan Lalji of TSN. My first time chatting with Farhan. He's a great dude, and I've always respected the fact he's been a minor football coach. That's something I did for a number of years. We talked about the future of Canadian football and how to grow the game here. CFL bubble. Can it work? And if it can work, how?
Can't. Simply can't.
Right.
I read, I saw the story, Edmonton. Yeah. Like, they're looking at every opportunity. Every stone is being unturned, right? I mean, I just got off the phone with the CFL president right now, and are they talking about it? Sure. But they understand they absolutely cannot play a full 18-game season in the bubble. That's fiction. So it's not the first priority on any level. And I think you could see a scenario where teams will play in market without fans before you see a bubble. And there is, modeling, they already did Winnipeg as far as the bubble, so they know it can happen there. I know, they've certainly, they've created it. They know what the medical piece of the bubble is going to look like, but you're not getting 18 weeks or 20 weeks for an 18-game schedule. It's just not going to happen that way. If you're going to play in a bubble, it's going to be a shortened season, if not a tournament, and that's just not what is the right thing for the CFL at this stage. The elephant in the room, and there are two. One is, what's government going to do? Because they didn't step forward last time. I think the CFL admittedly knows they dropped the ball in terms of how they asked. And they're going to completely change the strategy this time around in terms of where they expect the support to come from. You saw what the federal government just did for the casino industry. Mm-hmm. Is it more open to doing something for the CFL right now? I believe it is. So what's that going to look like? Number two, The real elephant in the room is, when will somebody from the CFL step out and say, we're going to have a season even if there are no fans in the seats? Someone needs to say that, because you can't sell a season ticket until then. You're going to be very limited in corporate sponsorship, TV revenue, and any of that until you can commit to that. Why would I invest without a commitment? And so that needs to happen at some point. And they're not there yet. The league right now is still working in the background on what their business model is going to look like. And it's not just all going to fall on the backs of the players where they've got to take all the cuts. So they're going through that exercise. There's been meetings with football operations, with league staff, and they're trying to find out what they want it to look like, right? And then from there, they'll go to the players. Is a bubble on the table? It is. But I think it is the least palatable option at this stage for the league to move forward with. Obviously, they know it won't be what it was in 2019. I think the hope is, play in market with limited fans, and then, work forward from there. But, like I said, is bubble talked about? Yep. Do I expect it? No.
Okay, Farhan, I got to squeeze a couple more in here with you in this great talk.
I know my answers get long.
No, I love it. I love it, man. I wish I could talk for 2 hours with you. Okay, here we go. You're a youth football coach, which I really respect because I did it for a number of years. How do we make this game more popular among our young kids so they pay attention to the Canadian game? Like, I'm talking all the way from high school through to the pros, so they got their eyeballs on the pros. Because when I interview high school kids for my podcast, I ask them who their heroes are. It's always NFL guys. They never list CFL guys. So how do we get them turned on to the game, and how do we get Canadian adults turned on to the game and pay attention to our Canadian game? I know it's a big question, but it's not easy, obviously.
Well, it isn't, and the fact that you're saying it and you're in Saskatchewan, that's the frightening part. Because if ever there's a place where young kids are looking at the CFL team, it's Saskatchewan. So you can only imagine what it's like in BC and Montreal and Toronto. I don't think it's past the point of no return, at least in Montreal and BC. Can't say that for Toronto, but at least in Montreal and BC, I still think it's... I think every effort possible to market Stars. I think they've got to make every effort possible to keep Stars in markets. And I think that they need to find ways to speak in the language kids understand and make it sexy. And I'm not a marketing expert, but whether it's, you know, I know there's talk about video games. There's different social media campaigns that the league's already doing. But, you know, I think they've just got to find ways to speak in their languages. I mean, you look at esports now, and the number of kids that connect to esports more so than they do to sports, which drives me bananas, but it's real.
Me too.
And if you can't create a game that can play on par with worldwide Madden tournaments, then you better find a way to sponsor it or attach yourself to it. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's a very good point.
If you can't build it, you know, to mass audiences where you've got enough consumer appeal to make it work, then you've got to attach yourself to what's already existing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, like every CFL team should find a way to attach to an NFL team, right? And just try to promote football. And if you can find ways to build synergies and not run from the NFL, you're probably going to be a little farther ahead, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And I don't think the league's necessarily running away from the NFL. And I can't sit here and give you exactly the marketing campaign that needs to happen. I'm 52. I can't speak their language. All I know is when I watch an NFL game with my son, and we watch a lot because he's a football player, every second, like every commercial, every injury, he pulls out his tablet. Mm-hmm. And he's not necessarily playing a game, but he's doing something, right, to get his attention span before he can get back on the game. And it's those moments that the Canadian Football League needs to attack. I mean, I think all the markets do a good job, all the franchises do a good job of getting into the community and helping with minor football. And, you know, like, look, my two assistant coaches on my son's youth team are BC Lions players, right?
You can't get any more grassroots than that.
Well, but I had to explain to those players who these players, sorry, I had to explain to my players who those two players were.
Wow.
Right? And then they thought it was a big deal, right? But and then they start following who they are and things like that. So, you know, that's the challenge. And, you know, for a person like me, I can sit there and tell all these guys just how good the league is. But, you know, there's certainly not as many people directly involved as I am, right?
Yeah.
So I do think the franchises do a good job of getting into the community. The Lions, you know, blow the Canucks and Whitecaps and everybody else away in terms of community appearances. Does it translate? Hard to say, right? I mean, they do great work with, don't be a bystander on violence issues as it relates to, you know, to women's violence, domestic violence. They do Raise the Leader campaign. They do so many different things. It's great. Is it resonating long term? I'm not sure, right?
Need some help from the league, though. You're right.
Of guys in the 20s and 30s, right? Like, because you also need to get that group.
You're right.
Because there is a gap right in the middle. It can't just be about the young kids either.
Yeah, last question. Squeeze it in here. Chase Claypool, does he have a chance to be the Steve Nash of football in Vancouver? Because I've talked to a few people out in Vancouver. It's not when, like, for instance, this weekend, it's Claypool's playing the Browns this week. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, and I've known Chase for a long time, and we're certainly proud of him out here, just like we were with Steve. And, you know, the big thing for Steve is that did he get more Canadian kids playing basketball? And I think the answer is yes. I don't know. I'm not going to accept that he's responsible for the number of players in the NBA now, because I believe it was Vince Carter that turned all those Ontario kids into basketball players, not Steve Nash. But, you know, Steve certainly had an effect on the game out here. You know, both by people being a fan of his, and then eventually when he took over the Grizzlies League and made it the Steve Nash League, you know, for youth kids and things like that. So I do think Chase has the ability to do that. He's got the charisma. He's got the game. You know, I just love the fact that we're now seeing elite players at the NFL level and at the major college level that aren't linemen. And I love my linemen, don't get me wrong, but no one grows up watching linemen.
No.
And so we need that player that gets on all the highlights, because you can grade out unbelievably like Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and no one even knows your name if you weren't a unique story where you were also a doctor, right? And whereas every other lineman that's ever had a chance to play, every other kicker that's ever had a chance to play, it just doesn't have the impact that a guy like Chase Claypool can have and a guy like Steve Nash did have.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.